The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. Today, we're playing something actually very special. A couple days ago, I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, doing an event for Dayspring Christian Academy. They are heroes. Check them out. Dayspring Christian Academy. They had me interview Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. One of the most extraordinary conversations I've had in a while. We're going to play it, the whole thing today. I hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Eric Metaxas and Jonathan Kahn. Wow.
Thank you. Wow. Holy cow. I don't know about you, but I'm intimidated. This is magnificent. Praise the Lord. I just got to say, before we start, Jonathan, I love you, and I love talking to you, and we get to do it publicly. This is going to be fun. But before we start talking, I just want to underscore, if you don't give a lot of money to Dayspring, you're crazy. Just want to bring that. I am so impressed with Mike Myers and Dayspring Academy. I don't normally say these things, but you have to understand what you have here is not normal. This is spectacular. Spectacular. Well, Jonathan, please have a seat. I'll pretend this is my living room. We're going to talk about America. Is that okay with you?
That is why we're here, yeah.
Is your mic on? No? If your mic's not on, what can we do? Can we get a megaphone?
Oh, testing, one, two, three.
There you go.
You hear me?
There you go. All right.
Good. All right.
I've got a million questions for you, and I don't even know where to start. We're going to have to talk fast.
Yeah, and let me just say, it is an honor for both. I mean, for both of us to be here. This is the first time, really. I haven't accepted any, been able to do anything during the lockdown. This is the first time I've really traveled. So it's a blessing. I feel so strongly about what you're doing. What you're doing here.
Well, you know, this is a super spreader event. We're all going to get it. Yeah.
Hopefully, he's spreading the gospel.
I would. Yeah. Oh, he's clever.
Super spreading.
The scripture says there's neither Jew nor Greek, and yet here we are. What do you make of it? I don't know what to make of that. I've got a lot of questions for you. First question is, you're always wearing black. And this could just be yes or no, because we got a lot of important questions. But my first question is, are you or are you not the Jewish Johnny Cash? Yes or no?
No.
No. All right. Well, that's really all I have to say. So, no, this is such a blessing. When I found out that I was the speaker 3 years ago, and I have to say, thank you. And I thought there must be some mistake when they were inviting me back, but they only invited me as an interviewer. We're really interested in what you have to say, at least the people here. I'm always interested in what I have to say, but I'm just saying the people are here because you, sir, you're the Nostradamus of our time. That was a joke. Can I joke? Am I allowed to joke? Thank the Lord. Wow. Not that I'm really asking for your permission. But we have some important things to talk about, Jonathan. You've written many spectacular books. Some people will be familiar with them, and some people won't. So I want to talk about that, and I want to maybe assume that not everybody is familiar with your books. The title of the evening, Return to the Foundation, Reviving the Seed of Our Nation. There are a couple of assumptions that are in that, and I want to touch on those assumptions just in case anybody is watching online or listens to this at another time. Both you and I believe that America has a special purpose in God's economy, that God has had his hand on this nation and blessed it, and I think a lot of us feel that. How is that different from what some people call replacement theology?
Well, replacement theology, for those who don't know, is saying that God has replaced Israel with the church. I mean, that's the first thing. So now I certainly, I'm against that. I'd have to replace myself, yeah. you know, with myself. Yeah. But it is clearly not biblical. But it's a different thing with America. America, if nobody's saying, or we're not saying, that America is Israel. Israel is Israel. But America is unique. There's only been two civilizations in history that were founded not because of territory, not because of an ethnic group, but dedicated to God from the foundation. And one is Israel and the other is America.
Okay, now hold on. That's just the kind of thing, when somebody makes a point like that on my radio program, people accuse me of interrupting, but what I'm really trying to do is say, that's so amazing what you just said. I don't want it to evaporate into the ether. I've never thought of that, but that's true. Say it again, because it's a magnificent concept. It's a daunting concept.
Yeah, and it's true. In all of history, only two nations were founded, not because of territory, not because of tribes, but founded, dedicated from their inception on the word of God and for the purposes of God. One, ancient Israel. God ordained that. Two, America. And there is no other nation. And that is what makes America so unique. It's there from the foundation.
Yeah. You've written about this in your books, but it's a big deal. And there are a lot of people who would push back and say that you and I were nationalists, or we somehow, if they're not accusing us of worshiping Donald Trump instead of worshiping Jesus, they would say we're worshiping America, or we've somehow, in other words, what do you say to somebody who doesn't understand that idea, or who somehow feels that idea is antithetical to the gospel, mm-hmm. to take a nation and look at it historically other than Israel?
History is history. That is what it is. But it's not about America, and it's not about we focus on America no matter what it does. Right now, America is falling from that calling. But we recognize that the foundation, it was established for God. I mean, those who came to Virginia Beach, you know, the first one, they had a cross, they dedicated America to God. They actually founded Jamestown, which is the beginning of you know, the civilization, on May 14th, which is also the birthday of Israel. It just happens to be.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the kind of thing that Jonathan Kahn would say? Who else would know that?
I said it.
you seem to have a particular crazy knack for noticing historical parallels and other kinds of parallels. I just want to say, because I'm always interested, before we get into the specifics, have you always been this way? In other words, what is that your personality? When you were a kid, did you see these things? Were you interested in history?
I was an atheist when I was 8 years old. I wasn't that. I always questioned everything. I questioned from the beginning. And I believe it's the grace of God. If I had to reproduce the books that I wrote, like The Harbinger or any of them, I could not reproduce it. It's just the Lord leads and, okay, here's the next one, here's the next one, here's the next one. I could never reproduce it. Sometimes, with some of the books, I'm in my bed and something just comes to me and said, well, that can't be. That's kind of crazy. I get up, I go on the internet, and it's true. It's true. So God always leads it. You know, I take no credit for anything. But that's the way it happens.
You're not one of those crazy Pentecostals, are you?
What was it? I really didn't hear.
I said, you're not one of those crazy Pentecostals, are you?
I don't know if I'm crazy.
Yeah. let me just interrupt and say, I am one of those crazy Pentecostals. And if you don't like that, get out. Okay.
No, we love the Baptist.
I don't really mean Pentecostal, but when people talk about hearing from God or being led by God, there's so many people, good Christian people, that have different ideas about these things. But you and I both, but you in particular, that's been a part of your ministry. God mm-hmm. has led you. You wouldn't just say, the Lord made me and I do what I do. Mm-hmm. You say the Lord is leading you in thinking of some of the things that you've thought of. You just said that.
Yeah, I believe every believer, I mean, no matter who they are, they have to believe that the Lord leads and the Lord gives insight. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
If we're seeking, we will. I always seek. Whenever I open up the Bible, I say, Lord, you know, there's a treasure here. Show it to me. Show it to me. I want more of you. And never be finished. And he never disappoints. You know,
well,
there's never an end. I mean, I look at something.
Look
at the Bible and say, look, how did you get that in there? Did you just slip that in there? I never saw that before. God is amazing. There's no end to it.
Left behind. When you think it over, do you ever
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has 3 things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Our love is alive, and so we begin. Foolishly laying our hearts on the
Hey,
table.
Folks, this is a special edition of the Eric Metaxas Show. We're now going to go back to my conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. We did it for Dayspring Christian Academy. It was hosted by Dr. Michael Myers. Here you go.
So you really do believe God speaks today, and that his Holy Spirit can inspire us and speak to us. He might not do it every second, but he does it, and he's done it with you. I know he's done it with me. But you also believe, and this is, again, contrary to what some people think, that God is a God of history,
yes,
and that he operates in
yes
history. And in a funny way, I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth, but I've said this before, that the story of human history is kind of like a poem that the Lord is writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. And part of it, it seems to me, that you're saying is that America has a unique place. And obviously, if the Lord chooses you, as mm-hmm he chose Israel yeah in a much more significant way, you don't say, hey, great, the Lord chose me. It's a burden.
No, yeah.
It's a responsibility to the rest of the world.
Yeah, God uses all things. And yes, God's the God of history. God weaves all things together. And with America from the foundation, you know, when Israel was about to head into the land, Moses charged Israel. He said, okay, here it is. Here's life and death. Well, America was beginning as the Puritans were coming to Massachusetts Bay there. You had another kind of Moses. You had John Winthrop. John Winthrop, as he's coming in, they're coming to the land, he gives a charge, a prophetic charge to America. And he says, listen, if we follow the Lord, if we shall be a city on a hill, and we'll be the most blessed nation. And he's using Israel. He's way back then. He's using what God said to Israel, you will be blessed. And America, that was prophetic, has become the most blessed, the most powerful, the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. But it all began with that foundation. The foundation, unlike other nations, was we are here for God. But that's conditional. It's not about us. It's about God. So we can't dismiss that. We have a foundation. If we turn against that foundation, then there are other things that take place.
Which leads me to my next question. Before I ask the question, it still says 40 minutes time remaining, and that can't be possible.
Because that means we can keep going.
We've been up here for a season, which is a biblical term for some time. So I don't know if you want to get that going, or that's just your way of saying, go ahead, whatever. We know people okay. have to get out of here. I know I do. So, well, okay. I'll ask two questions together. Has America fulfilled the promise of its founding as a city on a hill? And then the next question, so what happened to America? Because I think we know mm-hmm. we're not exactly in Kansas anymore, Rabbi.
Yeah, the first thing is that in many ways, America did fulfill it. In many ways, America was a refuge for the world. For most of us are here because it was a refuge. America has been a champion of freedom. America has been the center of the gospel for sending the gospel an example. America has given haven to the Jewish people. God says, you bless them, I'm going to bless you. That is a promise from God. America has been the best friend of Israel in the world. America has, if it wasn't for America, we don't know what would have happened in the 20th century when Hitler rose up to take over the world, or when communism rose up to take over the world. It was America. So America was crucial in God's plan. So that's all a yes. And America has been blessed as John Winthrop foretold it would be, more than any other. But there's a but. And the but that actually comes from John Winthrop. People, you know, they get where he says city on the hill, but he didn't just stop there. He said, but if we turn away from our God, if we turn away from the God of the Bible, then the judgments that came on Israel will come upon us. Okay, so the people take that part away from it. And the thing is that what has happened to America, it's an amazing thing because here we are founded after the pattern of Israel. I mean, you know that the Puritans even were thinking about that, making Hebrew the language. You know, Thanksgiving comes from a Hebrew holiday. So they founded it after Israel, but we have also followed the course of Israel's fall from God. Israel, you know, they're blessed by God, but then they started driving him out of their public square, driving him out of their children's lives, driving him out of the culture. And then they started calling what was evil good and what was good evil. And then they started promoting immorality, sexual immorality. They started taking other gods, and then they started persecuting the people of God. Well, America, well, not to mention, they also lifted up their children as sacrifices. America, we have followed the same course. We have also been driving God out of the public square, God out of the culture. We've also lifted up our children, not thousands on the altars of Baal, but millions of our unborn children. We have also called evil good and good evil. We have also promoted immorality. And now we're seeing the signs increasingly of the coming of persecution to God's people. So we have followed not just the good, but the bad. And that's where we are now.
I'm sorry I asked that question. Let's talk about The Harbinger, one of your books. Tell us about the origins of The Harbinger, how it came to you. Give us a taste of what it says.
Yeah, well, what happened was I was standing on the corner of Ground Zero, and I saw...
In Manhattan,
in New York City, and I saw a tree that had been struck down. And something said, you have to seek this out. There's something here.
Something said,
there's this thing in my head. Said, you have to seek this out. There's something here. And when I started seeking out, it was the first puzzle piece of a mystery that kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And like whenever I needed the next thing, someone would say something that turned out to be the next thing, or I'm typing on my computer and instead of what I'm asking for, something else comes up and it's the next thing that I needed that. So this happened for a few months.
It's called Revelation, I think.
Yeah. And so the Harbinger, for those who don't know, is that in the last days of ancient Israel, harbingers or signs warning of judgment appear in the land. Nine signs that are according to one scripture. Well, those same nine signs, those nine harbingers that appeared in the last days of Israel have appeared on American soil. Some have appeared in New York City, where kind of we are. Some have appeared in Washington, D.C. Some have involved leaders, even presidents. Some have involved symbols or rite or ceremonies. But they all, it's not like general, Eric. These are exact, precise things. And they all occurred with people who had no idea what they were doing. I won't go into them, you know, except to say, I'll just mention one of them to give a taste. And one of them is this. It centers on this scripture in Isaiah 9:10, which says there's an attack. It's the beginning sign of judgment or warning, wake-up call for a nation in the Bible. And what happens, there's an attack on the land, and the people, instead of coming back to God, God allows it. It's a shaking. God allows it to bring them back, but they don't come back. And so what happens is they respond, not with repentance, but with defiance. And they say, well, the bricks have fallen in the attack, but we will rebuild with quarried, so we're coming back stronger. The sycamore has been struck down, but we're going to plant a stronger tree. We're coming back stronger, defying God. Now, that's what it says. Now, that scripture, here's the thing, Eric, and when I did this, when I saw every single thing in that scripture manifested, what I didn't even realize is that on the day after 9/11, Tom Daschle, the Senate Majority Leader, gets up to give the response of the nation to 9/11. At the end of his speech, he says, there is a scripture that speaks to us now. And the scripture comes from Isaiah. And then out of his mouth comes the scripture that speaks about the attack on the land, the beginning of judgment, and the pronouncing judgment on the nation. He has no idea. He says Isaiah 9:10. He has no idea what he's saying. He has no idea. And he says at the end of that speech, he says, this is what we will do. So here the exact words of that scripture with the nine harbingers was proclaimed as America's response. And when I started the harbinger, I had no idea. Only at the end did I see that.
I love this because, I mean, the uncanny thing about your books is that they're true. They're not made up. No. They seem made up because it couldn't possibly be true. But then you look into it and you realize it's true. Yeah. Almost as if God is speaking.
Yeah.
Now, which he is.
I believe he's warning. I believe a God of mercy warns a nation.
Did you mention the mystery ground from the Harbinger?
Okay, in a nutshell, here, and this is good because it's about return. We're talking about America and hope. When destruction came to ancient Israel, when the judgment came, it returned to the ground, the same ground where they had consecrated the nation to God, which was Solomon, the temple of God. It returned to the same ground. And God was saying, listen, you broke the covenant, now return back, return. This is where they prayed. Well, is there a place in America like that? On America's first day as a constituted nation, when George Washington was sworn in, inaugurated, in the Capitol, he gives a prophetic warning, basically saying, America, never turn away from God or your blessing is going to be removed. Then he takes the whole first government, they go to a place, and they dedicate America, its future, to God in prayer on that ground. If we can find out where that ground is, we can find out, we have a mystery. Well, the ground was in the Capitol. The Capitol wasn't Washington, D.C., it was New York City. It wasn't just New York City, it was Lower Manhattan. America was dedicated to God on ground zero. The ancient mystery, it was right there at that chapel at Ground Zero, the ancient mystery that the destruction comes back to the same ground. He allowed it that our eyes were turned back to where we were dedicated. God is saying, return, America.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back.
PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We now continue airing my wonderful conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn for the Dayspring Christian Academy. Here it is.
So you're saying that the anybody who's visited, there's the spot, it used to be Federal Hall, where he was inaugurated.
That's where he gave the warning.
Yes. That's so. That's where he gave his his inaugural speech the warning.
Yes.
And you're saying they walked from there to what is now Ground Zero. What was that Ground Zero that they
It's still there. What's that Ground Zero is a chapel. It's the oldest functioning chapel in New York City. It's St. Paul's Chapel, which is they had the ground of Ground Zero in the back. They walked through there. They prayed and dedicated America to God. And that is where it all returned on that day.
It sounds like you're making this up, but you're not making this up.
No. No, you can check it out.
It's extraordinary. I know. It's extraordinary. So what is the biblical template that you just mentioned?
Yes.
What does it lead to? What happened after 9/11?
Yeah. The template is this, and you see it again and again in the Bible, that years before the great shakings come on the land, comes this wake-up call, comes an initial shaking, which comes in the form of an attack on an enemy. The Lord lifts the hedge for a moment and allows the nation to be shaken. And it's only temporary, but it's to say, wake up. I don't head to judgment. Well, what happens is then there's a window of time, window of years, span of years. We're not putting God in a box. It's a window of time where the nation has to come back to God, to repent, to come back to God, or to harden itself and go and defy God and ultimately head to judgment. Then great shakings will come upon that land.
Okay, it's pretty clear which path America took. I wish that weren't true, but it's very clear that we kind of went back to God for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes.
And for the rest of the time between now and then, about 20 years, we have not clearly been going in that direction. So you said that before 2020, you had a strong sense of what was coming, and that led you to write the sequel to The Harbinger, The Harbinger 2.
Yes.
Talk about that, because it's so clear when you say this was a warning.
Yes.
We did not respond to the warning as we should have responded to the warning.
Yeah.
So what do you see?
Yeah, and to further what you said, you know, it looked in the days after 9/11, it looked as if there could have been a revival. People were flocking to churches, but there was no revival because there was no repentance. Without repentance, there cannot be revival. And so it's not just we didn't come back, we got worse. We've been racing away from God.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what's in the template, because they're saying we're not going to go back. We're not going to go back. So unfortunately, we're following. It's not just the harbingers. It's America itself is following those footsteps. Now, there's hope we're going to get to. But here's the thing. In 2019, I'm praying. I was praying, Lord, what's the next book? What do you want me to write? And I think, okay, I'd like to do this. I'd like to do this. And he gave me something totally else. And the thing is that I got a very strong sense that this year coming, which was 2020, there was going to come great shakings on the land. I shared this publicly. Great shakings on the land. And it's going to be the continuation of what began in the Harbinger. And so the book that I had to write was something I held off for 8 years. I couldn't just write it. It had to be the right time, which was the Harbinger 2, which is the continuation of where things of where it goes, where it goes. And I'll just give you a little taste. There's so much. Well, first of all, in the Harbinger 2, what I was led to do is, number one, there's all sorts of things that I did not put in the Harbinger because there was just so much. So that was one thing. Secondly is, have the Harbingers continued since all this? Have we been warned? Where are we going? What's happened since? And the final thing is, what's happening now? And where are we going? And if where we're going, what do we need to know? Because I felt I had to write this to warn and God's people, and that to know what's coming and how we can prevail or stand in these times that are coming. So I'll just give a little taste. Just get the other thing. The first part, where things that I didn't share at the time of the Harbinger, one is that when 9/11 came, there's a scripture, actually John Winthrop quoted from it when he warned America, don't go away from God. all over New York City, all over even the world, but New York City, that scripture, there's a scripture that was being chanted to lead into the week of 9/11 that was saying there was the warning of a nation that has known God and that turns away from God. And one of the things it says is, the enemy will come like an eagle upon swoop down upon your land, and much more. I won't go into it. Also, all around on the day on 9/11, there was an ancient Hebrew rite that was appointed so that before the attack came, all over the Northeast, you could hear the sound of the watchman. The sound of the shofar was sounding, and it was sounding from the Northeast. It was actually going according to the sunrise. It was sounding in every place where 9/11 took place just before it happened. I won't go into that. I'll just mention one thing, Eric, because we have time. One thing.
We've got 40 minutes. Look.
We'll always have 40 minutes.
40 minutes. I believe so, Joshua may have stopped the sun or something like that. It's marvelous.
The clock.
It's marvelous. Yeah.
So one of the things that happened, that I didn't realize, Eric, when I wrote the article, I had no idea. All around America on the morning of 9/11, believers were opening up the Bible before the attack and during, before, they were opening up to Isaiah 9:10, the harbinger scripture that speaks about the attack and the beginning of judgment all over America.
In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is.
Folks, you've been listening to my special conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. It was part of the Remember America speaker series conducted for the Dayspring Christian Academy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
There's a Bible called the One-Year Bible. And the one-year Bible has an appointed scripture for every day. Well, if you open up the one-year Bible and you open up to Isaiah 9:10 about the attack at the beginning of warning, there's a date on top. The date is September 11th. And the day, and that has been there. The one-year Bible came out in the 1980s. So for 16 years, every year, on 9/11, believers were opening up their Bible to the scripture about the attack and the warning and the beginning of judgment, and they were doing it and on that day as well, and nobody had an idea until it happened, but it was all there. That's a little taste, Eric, of the unrevealed. But let me just mention, and we'll get to where we are now, mention some of the things that have happened since then, and I'll just mention very briefly. One is that the President of the United States, since I wrote the Harbinger, the president, this I'm talking about Barack Obama, I won't go into detail, but he actually inscribed what is Isaiah 9:10, which is about pronouncing judgment on the highest place in America. He inscribed basically the essence of Isaiah 9:10. I won't go into it.
Why won't you go into it?
Because of time. But also...
You have 40 minutes, pal. We're just beginning.
But also... Also, the other, now, there, for those who know the harbinger, one of the harbingers has to do with a tree. And I will just say this. One of the harbingers, that harbinger, I won't go into it except to say it was struck down. What happened after? In New York City, it was a sign, it was a symbol of America. It was struck down on a Hebrew holy day since the harbinger came out.
How was it struck down?
It was, you know, one of the symbols in the Bible, Eric, of national judgment is, he says, the tree will wither away. Well, this tree that represented America was one of the harbingers. It was called the Tree of Hope. At Ground Zero, it started withering away.
A tree was planted at Ground Zero?
A tree was planted. It says, according to the scripture in Isaiah 9:10, the sycamore will be struck down. It was at Ground Zero.
Who planted the sycamore?
It was there. It was growing at Ground Zero for a long time.
So it was there before the
9/11 attack?
Oh, yeah,
before there. And the Bible says
the
sycamore has fallen. Well, literally, a sycamore of Ground Zero fell. And then it says, but we will plant this other tree in its place. They planted the same tree that the Bible speaks about, which is called a panacea tree or an erez tree. They planted it, and then they called, just like in the Isaiah 9:10, and they said, this is the tree of hope. This is, we're coming back. Well, it withered away until finally they had to destroy it, and it was on Passover. So, you know, and many other things, but I'm just going to, let me give you one, and then we'll go to now, okay?
Yeah.
One other that has been, and this is very important, that where America has gone. In the last days of Jerusalem, in the Bible, there was one day where the enemy breaches the walls, okay? Babylon. Once the walls breached, you know that then judgment was coming. The defenses were gone. These were the hedges of Jerusalem. They made it a day of mourning. It was called the ninth of Tammuz. The Jewish people mourned for that day. It's the beginning of judgment. Well, in 2015, America crossed the line. And what they did, we all know it, through the Supreme Court, we struck down marriage as we know it. We struck down the biblical definition of marriage. It was June 26, 2015, but on the Hebrew calendar, it was the ninth of Tammuz, the day that the protective wall is breached. And there...
Now, this is in the Harbinger 2.
This is in the Harbinger 2.
Will you be signing those books after this event?
Yes, that's what they have me do.
I can't get my book signed because I'm going to be signing my own books. Darn it. Maybe somebody can get me a copy.
I'll give you one.
It's an awesome thing, Jonathan, to think of these parallels, to think of God's mercy in giving us these warnings and saying these things. And I honestly think you must sometimes feel a little daunted that the Lord has chosen you to be drawing these parallels and showing that you know you're not making it up. No. But it's an extraordinary thing. I think without you, we wouldn't know these things. And there's something wonderful about knowing these things. The Lord wants us to know these things. So, yeah, we want to kind of get to what in the world. I mean, when you talk about what happened in 2015, there was a moment.
Yeah.
Clearly, I think a lot of us saw it. And we think, wow, that's a big moment. What happened?
Yeah.
So what do you see happening after
that?
Well,
it's affecting us to this day. I mean, it's affecting freedom. It's affecting education, school. Well, here's the thing. Where this thing goes is that when you look at the pattern, when you look at the template, you have this window of time, and then shakings start resuming. Well, one of the things, and I actually, when I look back at the Harbinger, there's a chapter called Things to Come, and it speaks about how they can come. One of them, shakings come on a nation in judgment through civil disorder, the breakdown of law, civil disorder. Another, shakings, the division of the nation's divided more than it ever has been. Disasters, all sorts of things. But one of the things is there's a pattern, and actually you can find it hinted at the Harbinger. The Harbinger 2, I open it more. But that is that the question is asked, how long was it from that first strike and when the shakings get the great shakings start coming on the land? Well, in Israel's case, the first strike came in 605 BC. Nebuchadnezzar invades the land. Then there's a space of time. The great shakings begin in 586 BC. Well, between that's 19 years. So 9/11 happened in 2001. When is the 19th year? The 19th year is the year 2020. And so 2020, so for years I'm looking at this year and saying, Lord, is this going to be? And one of the shakings that come is, and the prophet Jeremiah speaks about the 19th year and what's going to happen. One of the things he says is a plague will come on the land in the 19th year. That's one of the things.
Now, does he say Wuhan?
He didn't,
does the script of the Aramaic say Chinese or Wuhan?
No, it's all Hebrew.
Kung Flu.
It's all Hebrew. All Hebrew. I'm sorry.
Too bad.
I'm sorry
bad.
About that. But all Hebrew. But the thing is, and I won't go into this, but one of the largest chapters in the Harbinger 2 is called the plague. There's so much, I won't go into it, but when it happened, where it happened, the exact day it happened, in America, all these things that are part of it. But we're in a time of shaking. At the same time, if we look at what's happening in America, we are still racing away from God. I mean, the culture is racing away from God. And so that brings us where we are now. And we've also seen a political shift as well, Donald Trump. We've seen those years, and there's the thing behind that too, behind what Donald Trump did and where we are now as well.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We now continue airing my wonderful conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn for the Dayspring Christian Academy. Here it is.
So 587 BC, which is sort of roughly where we are now, That doesn't sound good to me. In other words, the Jewish people go into exile. Yeah. It's not really...
No. If we... And listen, I'm not... Also, to keep in mind, God uses warnings. You hear a message and a scripture touches you. God uses it. So it's not saying we have to follow the exact thing, but the fact is the template is there, which is warning. This is what happens to a nation that has known God, been blessed more than any other nation, and is departing from God. Now the thing is that you know, there is still hope. You know, at every book, you know, at everything, there's always hope. But the hope, you know, without revival, America is... there's no hope for America. I mean, there's hope for us, but without revival, there is no hope for America.
That seems increasingly clear. And sometimes I think that God has turned us over to what I generously call a fake administration. But whatever you think, whoever you think was elected, we are clearly going through a kind of madness. Most Americans see that what is happening, there are various subjects, we won't go into it, but a madness has come, not to most people, but to our leaders, to the media.
It's crazy.
They are calling good evil and calling it. It's a complete madness.
Yes.
And it seems to me that in a weird way, it is God's mercy to wake us up and to say to us, do you see now that there is no hope outside of me?
Yes.
And that we must return to him in a way that we wouldn't have if the election had been different.
That's exactly what God does in the Bible, Eric. He does. He says, listen, it's trying to hold off the greater thing. I mean, the calamity. And so he allows shaking in his mercy. As you said, he allows this to happen in his mercy. It kind of withdraws in his mercy for that exact reason. But there is hope, and we'll get to that, too, that I want to mention in America's history. There was a time, and you mentioned Civil War before we were talking about this. Well, that was another time. We have never been so divided since then. But it looked like the future of America was at stake. And in the third year, 1863, it was dismal. It looked like England was almost betting against America surviving at that point. And it looked dismal. The Union was losing everything and everything. Finally, there was a call, and it went through Lincoln, where he issues a call for a day of prayer and repentance. Prayer and repentance. He issues it. It's an amazing statement, if you ever read that. He issues that. And then about two months later comes the turning point of the war. And the turning point was one in this state here, which is Gettysburg. That was one. And the other was the fall of Vicksburg. They happened one day after the other. Gettysburg, July 3rd, and Vicksburg, the fall of Vicksburg, July 4th. Okay. Now, the thing is, so that happened about that way. But when I looked closer on this, the turning of one of them, Vicksburg, it didn't happen then. It happened on another day when Grant won his first victory to take Vicksburg. Okay. The day he won the first victory was the day after the National Day of Prayer and Repentance. That was the real turning point of the Civil War. But then the other one, the turning point of Gettysburg, before that was called the Battle of Chancellorsville. And I won't go into it, but that led to Gettysburg. When did that begin? It began the day after the National Day of Prayer, that Lincoln. So prayer, if we didn't have, we might not have America today, if we didn't have people praying, and if we didn't have repentance, not just praying, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land.